from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today, I'll get a preview of the upcoming season at the Cabaret at the Columbia Club.
I'll find out about the City Gallery at the Harrison Center for the Arts.
And I'll check out the Soho Gallery and Cafe in Carmel. Plus, we'll also have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Sophisticated and swanky, the Cabaret at the Columbia Club features some of the top singers from Meridian Street to Broadway. Travis DiNicola sat down with the Cabaret's director, Shannon Forsell, to get a preview of their new season.
Shannon, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
Absolutely, and congratulations on having planned out a wonderful 2012 season, a whole new season for Cabaret at the Columbia Club. Before we jump into some of the highlights of what you guys have coming up, remind us, for those who maybe have not had the incredible experience of getting to see the Cabaret at the Columbia Club, what it is and how did you guys get there? A little bit, just a little bit.
That's a really long story. That's two shows within that.
The short version.
The short version is in 2009, American Cabaret Theater completely restructured altogether and moved away from the Athenaeum and moved into the Columbia Club, moving away from large scale cabaret, more musical revue cabarets into what I call kind of New York style cabaret, which are very intimate performances of anywhere from one to three folks, Broadway stars, jazz stars, folks that really specialize in doing cabaret in very small, intimate spaces, which is where we are now in the Columbia Club on the third floor in the Crystal Terrace, which is
an absolutely
gorgeous,
beautiful room. Great place to see a show. I mean, you know, you've got this great view looking out on the circle, whether it's snowing or sunny out, it doesn't matter. It's beautiful there. And the shows are just wonderful. I mean, really, you know, as you said, intimate, featuring a lot of pop and jazz standards, American Songbook, Broadway shows, and it's fun, it's classy, it's swank, right? It's, I mean, you're sitting there at a cocktail table drinking some cocktails, maybe having some food and enjoying a really fantastic show unlike any other you can get in town.
Absolutely. And folks are loving it and we're selling out. And one thing I want to make sure to say is that a lot of folks are still confused because we're in the Columbia Club.
Right.
All our shows are open to the public.
Don't have to be a member.
You don't have to be a member to come to our shows.
There you go. So cool way to check out the Columbia Club, too, if you're
absolutely kind of sneak in and check it out.
So let's jump right to February 14th, because I know people are already starting to plan on Valentine's Day and what they're doing with their sweeties. And what could be better than hearing Stephen Stolen, who we know, of course, from Stolen Moments here on WFYI and his work at the IRT. But he is a phenomenal singer as well. And it's what a treat to have him at your cabaret.
Yeah, you know, we've been trying to hook up with Stephen since we started.
And this is the first time.
This is the first time. Yeah. His debut at the cabaret.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And, you know, most folks know that he is a fantastic cabaret performer. Mm-hmm. He certainly is as known as Indy's favorite tenor. But we hadn't been able to get our schedules together to kind of get him in our space. He's certainly come to the shows, but he hasn't been on the stage. So this is a really fun time to have him on the stage at the cabaret doing something he just does really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are already really selling well for Valentine's night show. So I suggest folks kind of get those. But it's a great night of hearing some fantastic entertainment and very romantic setting.
Very romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't think of anything much more romantic. That sounds
right,
like a great evening. And then let's jump through the rest. There's so many great shows. I mean, I can't wait to talk about. I guess we should maybe do them chronologically.
So okay,
we'll try. But I'm just I can't wait to get to July when we can talk about Tom Wopat. But
okay,
anyway, we'll get to that in a second. So also in February, you've got New York Standard Time, Janice Siegel.
Yes.
Tell me about
now,
her.
People don't know Janice Siegel by her name. They know her by being a founder of the Manhattan Transfer.
Ah, uh-huh. Okay.
Now you know who she is.
Absolutely.
So she is the alto in the Manhattan Transfer.
Fun.
She has her own solo career. When she performs with her trio, it is magnificent.
Nice.
And folks can listen to any one of her numerous solo albums. And she is such a fantastic interpreter of song that to see her by herself and to get to see her in a really intimate setting is altogether different than getting to see her with the Manhattan Transfer.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's very neat. That'll
so
be a fun
she's,
show.
Yeah. So she's a really great cabaret performer and she loves doing that stuff. So she'll be with her trio and she'll also be doing a master class, and that's something else that we do at the cabaret.
It's a big part of what you guys have been doing, actually. Yeah.
On the Saturday that a lot of the big performers are here, on that Saturday they'll have a master class from 1 to 3 in the afternoon at the cabaret, and folks can see this on our website, thecabaret.org.
So, and you've been doing these master classes for a while with visiting artists. Who attends them?
Folks that want to be professional singers attend this, and anywhere from high school age on up. So what's great is a wonderful diversity of folks, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be mentored one-on-one with someone who really knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Janice especially, because there's a lot of folks who want to sing more in a jazz style, and where do you learn that?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our music schools are teaching things more in the classical genre, which is a fantastic base.
Mm-hmm.
But then folks want to kind of expand on that. So we need new folks to be on our cabaret stage. So these classes offer an opportunity for that.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, who are the Pupini sisters?
Okay.
They're coming in March.
I can't tell you how excited I am about the Pupini sisters. I pronounced it correctly. You did. Pupini sisters. They are the hippest chicks in the world. I just can't believe it. They are based in the UK, and they met when they were in music school together. And they, the person who does all their fashion design and their design is the guy who does that for the Mad Men series.
Cool.
So what's interesting about them is they do all their songs in Andrew Sister style.
Mm-hmm.
However, they will take songs that are not even remotely
Andrew Sister's songs
and make them Andrew Sister style songs like I Will Survive, Heart of Glass, Spooky.
Oh, what a hoot.
So they'll do some that are they're doing a tour called Hollywood right now too, where they do a lot of the great Hollywood songs, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend and all that. But they're sort of a cross between, I call them the vintage vixens.
Yeah.
They are supremely sexy in every way, and they just have this vintage burlesque kind of thing about them. But then they are just the most incredible musicians. Folks may not know, but they have heard them on the Michael Bublé Christmas album.
Okay.
He was on the, so they were on that with him singing Jingle Bells.
Now, I should mention that, speaking of sexy vixens, the shows are for adults.
Yeah.
At the cabaret.
Well, nobody's stripping or anything,
you know, drinks are involved and some other things as well. So, but of course, the master classes, as you mentioned, you know, high school students who are, you know, looking at professional careers are certainly welcome. But for the performances themselves, it is an adult.
Well,
audience.
You don't have to be, certainly youth are welcome. You don't have to be 21 to come to the cabaret.
Okay.
But it is more of a nightclub kind of setting, just so folks know that.
Okay.
But you do not have to be 21 to come.
Know.
Even though there are alcoholic beverages that you can have.
Right, of course. Uh-huh. Now, also in March, Cynthia Lane, who is just a fantastic, beautiful local jazz singer. I'm obviously a big fan.
Oh,
and,
Cynthia Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynthia Lane is doing something that what we try to do when we use local folks that are really fantastic is use them in a way no one's ever seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
So Cynthia is doing a true cabaret show. So she's doing, we're doing the back room, A Night at the Speakeasy. So she will be in costume that evening. Her band will be in costume. We'll be in costume. We encourage the folks that come to be in costume so that we really have a speakeasy night. We're going to be doing a partnership with a gentleman who republished a book of all Prohibition cocktails.
Awesome.
So there'll be Prohibition cocktails on the menu, and she'll be doing all music from that era, some nice sassy blues gals.
That's
and
very fun.
All of that. Yeah.
Oh,
that'll so that'll be a fun
show.
Night.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then you, Shannon Forsell, your
Shannon
singing songs I've never sung on Broadway, April 20th and 21st.
That's obviously, when I say that, I can do any song I want because I haven't sung any of those songs on Broadway. But there's also a side note in, and that is that I grew up at 51st and Broadway in Broad Ripple. So I did grow up on Broadway, but always kind of make the joke that if you tell God you want to be on Broadway, you must specify the state.
Which Broadway?
Exactly. Or the city. And that'll be, I haven't done a one-woman show in a little while, and so that'll be my project for the year.
Nice. And then in April also, you've got a partnership with the Indianapolis Opera.
Yes. There are a lot of opera folks that, you know, transition and do cabaret as well. And Maureen O'Flynn is doing her show. She's got a show called At the Crossroads, but she is also going to be having her show. She's also performing in Faust.
Okay.
So she will be the very next week.
Oh, that's terrific.
Doing a
yeah.
show. So she's going to do her cabaret show with us, and we're going to cross promote each other and
Neat.
Just ways to help each other get the word out. And a lot of folks will then be able to, that are really fans of hers, will get to see a whole nother side of her.
See her in two different ways.
Absolutely.
Very cool. That'll
right.
be a great show. And then let's see. This is a
oh,
wonderful
yeah.
title for in May. Is it Lainey Kazan?
Lainey Kazan.
So tell me this title here.
Lainey Kazan, The Chanteuse is Loose. And that is so good for her in so many ways. Because Lainey's been around a long time performing, mm-hmm. and she is, some folks would say she's a handful. Other folks would say that she's a diva and mean it in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be a whole lot of fun. She's, you know, she was first known as being the understudy of Barbara Streisand
okay.
in Funny Girl.
Okay.
That's how she got her start. And then she performed in cabarets and nightclubs all over the country and all over the world, had two Playboy nightclubs with her name attached to them. And she was on the Dean Martin Show 26 times.
Wow.
Folks more recently will know her from My Big Fat Greek Wedding
okay, sure.
and from Desperate Housewives.
Of course, right, right, right.
And then some of them will either know, also know her from The Nanny. Mm-hmm. So she's a big, sassy singer, and she can let it out, and she will. And we look forward to that.
Oh, that'll be a ton of fun.
Yes.
Very good, very good.
Yes.
And then Stacey Kent, Dreamer, in June.
Stacey Kent is
jazz singer.
She's a jazz singer, but what's great about some of the jazz singers out there is that they, because they're used to playing in small rooms a lot mm-hmm. of times, they will also be great interpreters of lyrics.
Okay.
And Stacey Kent is a fantastic interpreter of lyrics, and she very much crosses over into the cabaret realm, and we're thrilled to be having her. She's Grammy nominated. Her ability to capture a song and tell a story is just really something. So folks will be really happy to see her.
Very cool. Very cool. And then let's see. A couple other great shows you got coming this summer. And we won't go through the whole series. We'll bring you back, Shannon.
All right.
Later in the year for the fall and the winter. But I do want to talk about a couple shows you have coming up this summer at Cabaret at the Columbia Club. First one is An Intimate Evening with Linda, is it Eder?
Eder.
Eder, excuse
yes.
me. Linda Eder.
That's okay. Yes, Linda Eder is really one of our most...
Broadway singer.
She's a Broadway singer, and some folks will know her because she was a Star Search Grand Champion.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And mm-hmm. she has been compared to Barbara Streisand
mm-hmm.
on numerous occasions. What I will say about the Linda Eder show is get your tickets today. She is nearly sold out
wow.
of all three performances because she is such a vocal icon. And so she just really is, it's very difficult to see her in a small room. And she really has only come to Indianapolis one other time, and it's mm-hmm. been at the Symphony. And so to
okay.
see her up close, and this is actually the first season that the Cabaret has had the phenomenon of folks coming from all over the country that are sort of groupies
mm-hmm.
of big folks
mm-hmm.
with Sam Harris
so she,
and with her. She,
yeah.
she the day they went on sale, we had some folks from all over the country, which is really fun. So if you want to see Linda Eder, and I highly recommend it, get your tickets as soon as you can for that.
Very
I know
cool.
all of the VIP seats and the second tier seats, I think, are all gone already for all the shows, but there are still some seats available.
Okay. So, middle of July, You've got Tom Wopat.
Now, yes, this we is do. Fun.
I saw Tom Wopat in on Broadway in the show City of Angels back in 90, 91, and he was absolutely fantastic. This is the same Tom Wopat from Dukes of Hazzard.
Luke Duke, baby.
Yeah. Now, since then, I mean, he's done a lot more Broadway shows, including Annie Get Your Gun, and I've got that soundtrack in Chicago, and Guys and Dolls, and a lot of other ones. But I remember when he did City of Angels at that point, that may have been, I think, his first Broadway show after finishing up Dukes of Hazzard.
Right, right.
And it was still sort of like, you know, can he really sing sort of thing? He can sing. He can dance. He's amazing. He was absolutely amazing. What a great performer.
And that's the thing. You just, you can't kind of get the Luke Duke thing out of your head. But
no,
then
you
when
can.
You look at him online, we have, and we have on our website, all of our folks, you can watch them perform. You can see the video of them performing and hear them. When you see him, he's so kind of suave, you know, and that it's so different than what you expect and what you know of him. He's not doing car chases anymore now.
No.
He's very much kind of a Frank Sinatra kind of man's man kind of singer, and he's trained classically, and he can sing the heck out of things.
Yep.
So folks will really, really like him. He's a phenomenal performer, and he just left Broadway from the show Catch Me If You Can.
Well, I'm looking forward to that one. That one's just going to be a ton of fun. And then let's just to wrap up this overview of the first part of your season, Melinda Doolittle from American Idol is going to be here.
Can you believe that?
How cool.
Who knew that she did cabaret, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has she's done numerous shows, sold-out shows at Feinstein's now, and has sort of branched into this cabaret thing. And it's she's fantastic at it. And of course she liked kind of classic R&B and favored that when she was on American Idol. So, but she has a really wonderful, well-rounded cabaret show. And she's also just a really inspiring lady. She was tone deaf when she, and was actually asked to only lip sync in choir when she was a little girl.
So
and,
and
she wrote
maybe
just,
still hope for me.
Yeah, right. And she just wrote, book, and we want to maybe kind of have some talks with her too about it. And she's one of the statistics. She grew up with a single mom who really kind of struggled to survive. So she shouldn't be the success that she is today. And she wrote a book about that. And she gives tons of time to charity for youth. And she's just a really fantastic lady. Besides being a phenomenal singer.
Well, what a great way to kick off your season. And again, I mean, you've got a whole season, all of 2012. This is just an overview of the shows up through the summer at Cabaret at the Columbia Club. Shan, what a great lineup. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I cannot wait to get there. And I encourage people to go out and put on their swanky clothes and get ready to enjoy a fabulous night there. And thanks again for being on Art of the Matter today.
Thank you so much.
Travis DiNicola with the cabaret singer and director, Shannon Forsell. For the Cabaret at the Columbia Club's complete schedule and ticket information, visit thecabaret.org. That's thecabaret.org. And don't forget your white spats and arrow collars. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
It's an art gallery. It's a social gathering place. Now it's a real estate clearinghouse? Well, yes and no. Sharon Gamble invited Joanna Taft of the Harrison Center for the Arts into our studio to learn more about the Harrison's new City Gallery initiative.
Take me behind the scenes to how the idea of City Gallery got started.
Well, you know, the Harrison Center likes to try new things.
I think that's your mission, isn't it?
Maybe one of the new things was the Harrison Center.
Yeah, right.
10 years ago. In fact, we were speaking on what is my 10th anniversary of being hired to figure out how to bring some life into that old church building at 16th and Delaware.
Congratulations. That was a fast decade.
It was. I think I have a few more gray hairs, although I have been telling my family I'm going to be blonde the rest of my life.
So good girl.
I think I'm getting blonder. So anyway, we early into the Harrison Center, we recognized that our artists needed patrons, and we were trying to figure out how to grow a new generation of patrons. And you remember that we started here in high school,
right?
And that started in our basement, and now it's a separate organization that's across the street from you.
And a
WFY.
Separate award-winning organization.
Yes, in 2010, Newsweek magazine named us 27 in the nation for their America's Best Schools issue, number 27.
And that is astonishing.
Yes.
Congratulations.
We
that's amazing.
We were thrilled. There's more work to be done. Heron High School will keep working. There are ways to improve, but we're really excited about the encouragement we've received from the community. So with Heron High School doing so well, and I continue to be board chair and very active there, the Harrison Center itself was looking for another way to use our ability to build community and through the arts and to tell the story to share our community needs through the arts and to actually come up with solutions, what we call cultural solutions to our community's problems.
Before you go on, let's define cultural.
It's very broad. It's very, very broad. And we want our community members to kind of interpret that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for somebody, it is, for one person, it might just be art or music. Or,
but it could be food.
It could be food, right. You know, we've done FoodCon for several years now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that culture is what makes Indianapolis unique. What makes our culture is what makes Indianapolis different from any other city. And so whether it's our inside speak, you know, how we talk about things, mm-hmm. or whether it's our neighborhoods or how we interact and our traditions and what we celebrate and what we create, those are all the things that make Indianapolis Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. So
or
we celebrate those.
Sometimes
things.
Our modesty. I have this conversation a lot, especially with people in from other cities. They're especially if they come in for the first time, they're kind of wowed by everything that's going on here, and they say something to the effect of, why aren't you out there telling your story better? And, you know, everybody in the conversation kind of goes, oh, well, you know, it's we're so modest.
And, you know, I'm not from Indianapolis, and I think it is the best. It's just, I can't imagine living anywhere else. And we are Hoosiers for life.
Yeah.
So
it does not take long to become, what is it, I call myself a naturalized citizen.
Yes, I like that. I'm going to steal that. Thank you.
So is there anything, I admit to having done a little Google search and not finding anything quite like City Gallery elsewhere.
Right. So you had asked me, how did this idea come about? And we were trying to figure out how to use our skill sets to do something else that would be big and meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at Indianapolis has this map. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's their abandoned property map, and it looks like a pointillism piece. It looks like a piece of art because there are all these dots, you know,
wow.
in different colors all over it. But it's actually, when you realize what the dots mean, it's not beautiful. Each dot stands for an abandoned house.
Hmm.
Each dot stands for a public safety issue, an education mm-hmm. issue, a social justice issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, how can we use art and culture and community, this little formula that we have, to start addressing these challenged neighborhoods that kind of surround the Harrison Center. Our commercial core in Indianapolis is very healthy, but it's those downtown those urban neighbors that surround the mm-hmm. downtown that are challenged. Other cities have programs. They're called urban living centers. There are about five or six of them. Live Baltimore, and Baltimore is kind of the best standard, industry standard. It's been around for about 11 years. And so we did best practice research to see what other cities were doing to market the idea that urban living is a good thing.
It strikes me that Detroit might be a little bit of a role model in this as well, especially in that effort, and the name just escaped me, where artists are taking over abandoned houses.
Sure. I think that there are a lot of people are trying a lot of new projects,
yeah.
and so we wanted to look at who had been at it for a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
and looking at Baltimore and Pittsburgh and some others that had been we're still learning how, this is a new field.
Sure.
And so we're still learning how to do it. We've also stolen a lot of ideas from Chattanooga. There's an organization there called Create Here.
Hmm.
And they had an artist recruitment program and have used, been really great in teaching entrepreneurial skills to helping everybody learn how they can be an artist and an entrepreneur, a culture maker.
Hmm.
So, we looked at these best practices, and then we came back to the Harrison Center. What do we do well? And what we do well is we tell a story through art, and we share our lives, and our artists share their lives through art. And so we wanted to create, we did not want to lose our identity as a gallery. We are a gallery. That
right.
is number one. And so we felt like starting the City Gallery, Indy's Urban Living Center, would become people's introduction to Indianapolis through the arts. So if you think about going to a visitor center in any other city, you're not going to be introduced to that city through the arts or from an arts perspective.
Sure.
Or cultural perspective. And so we're, in a sense, we're concierge. We're concierge for the city.
Hmm.
And yet when you come and you enter, you are viewing Indianapolis through the lens of culture, community, and place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we connect. We're not realtors. We don't sell houses. We connect people to culture, community, and place to strengthen in these core neighborhoods. So we are learning. Our first, we opened in, our pilot program launched in August.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel like this first year is a year of learning. We're trying mistakes. We're trying and making mistakes. We actually really enjoy this process. We've done this with every other thing at the Harrison Center. We try things, and it's actually okay to fail. It's okay to make mistakes, and that's how you learn. And so we've had some great, we've actually been amazed by our success at how many people we've connected, how many people have actually moved into urban neighborhoods because of their interaction or our ability to connect them to the people that the cheerleaders of those neighborhoods and the people that build culture and are the placemakers in those neighborhoods. So, again, we connect people. We don't sell houses. We send the message that urban living is a good thing, and we help people get connected to community in those neighborhoods.
You're kind of a clearinghouse. You've partnered with several community mm-hmm. development corporations. Mm-hmm. I happen to serve on a CDC board, and I remember my board orientation and being handed a 2-inch thick binder that was nothing but acronyms in the field with their definitions.
Yes.
And it's like, apes, this is so complicated.
Yes.
But there are a lot of programs that people don't know about that can help get them into houses, get them into neighborhoods, find the place where they belong, find their roots.
Right. So we are, if you've drive by our new look, our new storefront at 15th and Delaware, it looks like a coffee shop. We call ourselves a fake coffee shop. We're a resource cafe.
Ah.
And so if you come in, we will give you, and you say to me, I want a neighborhood with trees and old houses with character and a really strong community spirit. I'd say, you know, you should try out Mapleton Fall Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, look at this piece that's hanging in our gallery. This is a painting of Watson McCord's Bird Sanctuary, which is part of the Mapleton Fall Creek neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fun to be able to tell the story of these neighborhoods through art and to not only give people the resources and connect them to the community development corporations and the realtors that are doing the work, but also to then show them, kind of give them another way of viewing the neighborhood through an artist's perspective and the beauty that the artist finds in that neighborhood. We had another really kind of fun show recently. Catherine Barnes-Start and her husband, Catherine is one of the Harrison Center artists, and she and her husband bought a house in St. Clair Place.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to one of our housing happy hours that we have at the Harrison Center.
Mm-hmm.
And and Catherine actually did, they purchased a house, and then she wanted to do a show kind of based as she was kind of thinking through this home ownership and moving into a community and building community and she wanted to use her art to tell that story. And she works at encaustic, which is beeswax.
Mm-hmm.
And so her work ended up using honeybees and hives, the idea of the hive, to explore her thoughts about her neighborhood. And she said that just as people bring vitality to a community, a hive doesn't function without its crucial members. And so, you know, one or two bees can't create honey on their own.
It takes all the people to make
right.
the infrastructure.
And so it's wonderful to watch these artists kind of wrestle and think through how they can make a difference where they live.
Wow. What a beautiful story. Have you been contacted much? I know that you're early into this experiment, social and artistic experiment, but have you been contacted yet by people who are thinking about relocating to Indianapolis?
Yes. In fact, a lot of the people that we've helped already have come to us from North Carolina. Greece.
Whoa.
it was actually a Lilly family relocating.
Cool.
And then actually this afternoon, there's another family from North Carolina that's coming in. So we, it's, I don't know how people find us, but I think, well, actually I do. It's word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah,
which
sure.
is really the Harrison Center's sweet spot. It's yeah. those grassroots networks.
Sharon Gamble with Joanna Taft, Executive Director of the Harrison Center for the Arts. You can learn more at citygalleryindy.org. That's citygalleryindy.org.
So let's see. Hearing more live jazz. Check. Wearing
yes.
high heels more often. Check.
That's not on my checklist.
Drinking bourbon more often.
Check.
Check. You know what these things have in common?
New Year's resolutions.
That's exactly right. They're on my list.
They're on your list.
They're on my list.
For a moment, I thought you were reading off my list.
You don't have to worry about the high heels.
High heels. Yeah.
How do you feel about bourbon, though?
So how's it going? We're you know, kind of a few weeks into the new year.
We are. And, you know, I had this interesting conversation with a lovely server at a Mass Ave restaurant mm-hmm. Recently. We were talking about New Year's resolutions, and she's a newly minted psychology BA. Mm-hmm. grad, and she said it never occurred to me to make resolutions that are positive things
to
rather than
things,
negative
like
things.
Like going to see more local theater or
That's
more jazz
right.
or more
That's
opera.
That's right. So she was convinced by the end of
well,
the
good.
Meal, and we hope you are too, because we have lots of things to do and see on our calendar that we call
What'll We do?
And you may or may not want to wear your high heels to them.
I think a great thing to do, if you've not already made this part of your resolutions, is to go see more local dance, especially some really great modern dance, such as what Dance Kaleidoscope is doing this weekend and next with their Super Soul. See, it rhymes with that other thing going on in a few weeks.
Oh,
I just got
I
it.
Get
super
it.
Soul,
I
super.
I get it.
Yeah, anyway, so, but they're focused on Motown and more, and it's at the upper stage of the IRT, and it's all through this weekend as well as all of next weekend. Two weekends, world premieres by David Hochoy, Cynthia Pratt, and Nicholas Owens, featuring great music by Stevie Wonder, as well as lots of cool funk and soul music as well. And this is just going to be a great show. Definitely worth checking out. Super Soul.
Super Soul.
Super Soul.
I think you have to have a special voice to say that it's Super Soul.
Get Matthew Sosie in here, too.
Master of all voices. If your resolutions include performing more often, listen up. This Saturday night, Sing Uprising is the offering at the Indie Folk Series. That's this Saturday night, 7 to 9, over at UUI, Unitarian Universalist Church of Indianapolis, 615 West 43rd Street. Essentially, the audience becomes the show as professionals, amateurs, and others share in a spontaneous evening of music making. And it's a great way to kind of dig out of your cocoon. You know, sometimes this time of year, not very many hours of daylight, and we need a little bit of some cheer. So bring instruments, bring a copy of Rise Up Singing if you have it, or just come and listen. Sing Uprising 7 to 9 this Saturday night as part of Indie Folk Series.
If in addition to seeing some dance, part of your New Year's resolutions include checking out venues you haven't been in. Maybe you've not been in the Tarkington yet, up at the Center for the Performing Arts. Well, this weekend will be a great weekend because on Sunday at 7 p.m., the Complexions Contemporary Ballet is going to be performing in the Tarkington. And even though ballet is in their title, they are a very, very modern ballet company and do some really, really great stuff. Definitely worth checking out for this touring company.
Excellent. Something else that's a cheerful thing to do, you might have caught our interview last week about the GLASS events, not one but two going on at Garfield Park. The special launch opening party of the Indiana GLASS Arts Alliance show at Garfield Park is this Saturday night from 5 to 7. You can meet the artists and see botanical-inspired glass artworks in the Garfield Park Conservatory. As well as in professional Indiana artists work in the park's art center. So two art glass exhibits, one venue, Garfield Park. And while you're in the conservatory, of course, you're going to be in a place that's around 80 degrees. You're going
nice
to see some lovely tropical plants, so you can pretend
beautiful
it's no longer winter.
And a cacao tree, too.
Exactly.
All very good.
Right?
Hey, if you still have your Indie Fringe button from last summer.
I do.
Then you can use it this weekend as part of the Winter Magic Festival that's taking place at the Indie Fringe. It started Thursday night. It goes through Sunday. They've got performances every day on Saturday, starting in the afternoon, going through late evening, as well as on Sunday. and they are featuring some great magicians, including Jared Sherlock, who used to be from Indianapolis and Carmel. Now he lives in Minneapolis. Very funny, very talented young musician. Also Trig Watson from Dallas, with sort of a philosophical type of magic show.
What?
Yes.
Randy. How does that work?
You got to check it out. Randy Shine from Philadelphia, great entertainer. Janya Taylor from Michigan, the goddess of magic. And then Two Brothers, One Mind from Los Angeles. So these are a whole bunch of different magic shows, and you can get 10% discount at the door if you wear your fringe button.
Awesome.
So if you've got your fringe button, you can go there and pick out a show or check out the schedule online at indiefringe.org. But lots of great magic this weekend from all over the country coming here to Indy.
When do we get to see you do magic again?
You can hear me do magic right now. I'm going to make myself disappear.
No, come
and
back.
And I'm back.
Come okay. back. There's more to our calendar. Well, this is kind of magical. Encore Vocal Arts is putting up a super show on Super Bowl weekend. It's actually on February 4th at 8 o'clock. Don't worry. It's nowhere near the Super Bowl. It's at the Zionsville Performing Arts Center. What are they doing? They're performing Carmina Burana, the ever-popular choral classic by Carl Orff. And they're doing it with, not only with the Zionsville High School Chamber Choir and Middle School Choirs, but with a, you ready for this? Flame artist named Molly Wildfire. I am not making, I could not make this up.
I want to see this.
I know. What a cool flamboyant thing to see and do. That's
sounds
February.
Like a hot show. Oh, too easy.
Especially
too easy.
If you go with somebody who can translate some of those lyrics. Mm-hmm. February 4th, 8 o'clock, Zionsville Performing Arts Center.
And the Carmel Community Players up at Clay Terrace are opening company this weekend, the Stephen Sondheim musical, and it is running this weekend through February 4th at their facility up there at Clay Terrace. And this is a absolutely fantastic musical, really sort of genre-defining. If you like Stephen Sondheim, then you'll certainly love this. If you've never seen a Stephen Sondheim musical, this is a great sort of introduction to very smart type of musical theater. And in this one, the main character is Bobby, sort of a confirmed bachelor, and it follows his escapades. And really just great cast as well of local performers who are going to be up there as part of this, including Gail Payne and Tom McTamney and lots of other great actors and singers up there. Check it out. Carmel Community Players Company.
Excellent. Sharing Hoosier History Through Stories is a series of stories, interwoven stories, told by Bob Sander next Friday, January 27th, at the Franklin Katrina Basile Theater at the Indiana Historical Society. If you've never heard Bob tell a story, you owe it to yourself to go. He's just this wonderful guy who looks so reserved and so so modest, and then these brilliant stories come out of his mouth. You can find out more at storytellingarts.org, and again, that's taking place this coming Friday, January 27th, 8 to 9, and there's a reception after in the Basile Theater at the Indiana History Center. And storytellingarts.org for more info on Bob Sander.
Something I mentioned last weekend, just a reminder, Super Bowls 2012, which is a ceramic bowl sale and soup tasting event that benefits Second Helpings, is coming up on January 28th for lunchtime from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Tickets are available at the door at Second Helpings, only $5. Includes, you get to taste 5 different soups from some great cooks in town, like Kevin Peters from the Columbia Club and Regina Mahalik from our bistro, Greg Hardesty from Recess, Roger Hawkins, Circle City Soups, let's see, DeWitt Jackson, who cooks for the Colts, Jack London from Butler University, and also Luke Canapiel from Pogue's Run. And what's even cooler is you can also bid on the bowls, and they've got celebrity autograph bowls from like Chris Isaac and Vince Gill and Amy Grant and
wow.
Naptown Roller Girls, and it all benefits Second Helpings. Check out Second Helpings for more information.
Totally cool.
Super Bowls.
Super Bowls. So fun to say. Hey, you're going to hear more from this fellow next week on The Art of the Matter, but Eric Grayson, who knows more about film than, who's forgotten more about film than most of us will ever know, that's what I'm trying to say, has created an intriguing series for vintage movie nights at the Garfield Park Arts Center. The theme of this series is Fallen Stars. It's a film series featuring actors who were ostracized from Hollywood. And it begins next Saturday night, that's the 28th at 7 o'clock, with
Coney Island, a 1917 film, and Fatty and Mabel Adrift, a 1916 film, both featuring Fatty Arbuckle, whose real name was Roscoe. Arbuckle, if you're thinking, I remember some scandal, he was accused but eventually exonerated of causing the death of Virginia Rapp in 1921. That's right. Mm-hmm. And he was able to obtain work only as a director afterward and died on the day he signed a contract for his big comeback in 1933. And Eric will be introducing these films and telling you more. So that's at the Garfield Park Arts Center. More information at 327 Park.
I got to see a really stunning show by Joseph Krohn that's over at Wuglacoo's Studio and Gallery that is going to be up for just a little bit longer. If you haven't been over to Wug Space, it's part of the Circle City Industrial Complex that's just off of 10th Street and Mass Ave over there on Brookside. Really interesting space, just a little bit off of Mass Ave. And Joseph Krohn's work is stunning, technically beautiful. Colored pencil that he uses on layered acetate for this very photorealistic sort of film noir type of style. Each of the works just looks like it's a still taken from a movie, and you can sort of imagine the story behind it. Really beautiful work. Definitely worth checking out over at Wuglacoo's Studio.
Speaking of visual art, the Harrison Center for the Arts is seeking work for a group show. It's called, you ready for this? Put a Bird on It. It's
nice.
A bird-themed art show. I'm just saying. So, you know, if you suddenly had visions of Twitter in your head, let them inspire you. You can get details by sending an email to pam@harrisoncenter.org. Put a bird on it.
Very good. Last thing I've got is if you've ever doubted that there could be a feel-good drama, a comedy about the economy, well, then you know what? You should go to Phoenix Theater to check out current economic conditions and have all your doubts cast aside. It's a feel-good play about sort of when empty nest turned into cluttered nest with children, I say loosely, in their 20s, returning home to their parents, to live with their parents, as maybe a few of us in this room did at one point. And this is a great play about that, worth checking out. It's a new American play at the Phoenix Theater, current economic conditions through February 12th.
My last thing is you're probably starting to get those friends and relations from nearby asking if they can just come stay with you for the week of Super Bowl just to be near the action. If you have such...
No,
right? Rent your house for $10,000 a day or host your friends for nothing. If you have such people in your life, or even if it's just you and yours, don't forget there are now 46, count them, 46 super murals around our city in honor of Super Bowl 46, and they are everywhere. So it's kind of a fun game to find the mural. You can go to the Arts Council's website and actually download a map if you want to be really intentional about it. But hey, sometimes found art is the best.
And we'll be back next week with more things that we find to share with you on that calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Artist Studios in a gallery connected to a cafe with live jazz, cult movie nights, and open mic nights for poets and musicians sounds like something you might find in Soho, New York, or maybe Fountain Square. But in Carmel? That's exactly what the Soho Gallery and Cafe in Carmel offers to Northsiders of all ages. Travis DiNicola spoke with one of the owners, Jess Lawhead, to find out more.
Soho Cafe Gallery up in Carmel. I'm really curious about this. I mean, the last time I checked, there was not a Houston Street in Carmel to be Soho. So, give me an overview as far as what this is, and then we'll talk sort of more specifically about the programs and such. But it sounds like just a really cool space. I haven't been up there yet, but
sure.
I mean, combination of open mic and coffee and space for artists and performance and is that that's sort of a start?
Sound pretty good. Yeah, it's a in a nutshell, it's an art community open to the public. So not only do we have an art gallery, but then we have art studio space that local artists can come and work. And then in their downtime or their time to consult with other people, we have a coffee shop that they all can meet as well.
So you've really created a sort of a community space for artists in Carmel.
Correct. Yep.
In that. So now tell me where exactly it is located up there.
It's at 126th Street and Rangeland Road, right across from the city center. And it's located on the Monon Trail.
Okay, great, great location for you guys, and obviously a part of the whole sort of art and design district that's been developed up there, which makes enormous amount of sense. Because they're up really till this point, I'm not aware that there were a lot of, even though there's some great galleries up there, in terms of actual studio space for artists, there really wasn't a lot going on up there yet, was there?
Not a huge amount, but yeah, it's just it's really a convenient place for people to meet and to work, and it gives them an alternative to displaying. They also can be working in Carmel as well.
Sure. So Jess, what drove you to do this?
It's a family-owned business and kind of as a joint effort, and we always knew that we wanted to put something together that would incorporate a true family business and the arts. We are a huge supporter of music and physical art, and so we knew that would be a good fit for us.
So how long has the space been open?
We opened it for our first Friday show in December of last year.
Okay.
So 2010.
So going on a full year now.
Yep.
And during that time, what have been some of the highlights for you?
The highlights have just been the growth. I mean, we were very surprised by how supportive the community was. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get people from all over Indiana as well from out of state. As you mentioned, open mic night, we've been shocked that we not only do we get local artists and musicians to come in, but then we get people to travel from Bloomington, Muncie. We had someone from Nashville last week, so it's just been amazing, just support that we get, and just the Carmel community. Yeah,
that's fantastic. And you guys do open mics once a week, is that?
Yeah, we started doing open mics. That was kind of my initiative coming into the business. Was I used to live in Chicago, and the music scene up there is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And there was a place right down the street from where I lived called The Store, and their thing was they had an open mic every week. And you can come in, you get a free CD for coming in, and just the environment that they produced was like nothing else I saw when I lived in Indiana previous to moving up there.
Okay, and so that sort of inspired you to do this. So it's open mic music. Is it also open mic poetry? Is it or stand up comedy? I mean, it's sort of all over the place. Or
we haven't had too much comedy, but we have had poetry, and the majority of the performers are playing acoustic guitar and singer songwriter. So. It happens every week at 7 o'clock, and you come out, sign up at 6:30, start at 7 o'clock, and we play till around 9.
So you have sign up right there. Can you sign up ahead of time online, or is it basically like you show up, you sign up?
And yeah, it's first come, first serve. Okay. So we have around 10 to 12 players per week, and people show up. And then, as I said, and the thing I brought from Chicago is we do a free recording. So artists come and play, and then when they come back the next week, I produce a CD for them of their set. So
that's cool.
They can evaluate. You know, it's a development area for local artists.
That's a real incentive too, to come and then to also keep coming back.
Oh sure.
Do they have a time limit, like 10 minutes, and the hook comes out, or?
Really, usually it's how many players you have show up, but yeah, usually about 10 to 15 minutes, 3 songs.
Okay. Okay, very cool, very cool. So now, is the space is an all-ages type of thing? Or
yeah, it's a family environment, so we ask people to, make it age-appropriate for the whole family.
Okay, so you've got the cafe space where you've got the open mic and coffee and things like that, and then it's within the same building, right, that you also have studio space available?
Correct, yeah. It's divided into two spaces, the coffee shop and gallery, and then there's a separate part that is for the art studios, but it's all in one space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you an artist yourself?
When I went to IU, I started out as a visual arts education major. My goal was to be an art teacher. I continued doing a lot of art classes, but I ended up switching to business. So this is kind of combining the skill set that I have, and then all my other family members have their own strengths that help build this business.
Excellent, excellent. Now, for the space that the artists are using as a studio, is this the type of thing where they rent it by the month or by the hour, or how does that work? I mean, for artists who want to have studio space.
Sure, it's a leased space to the local artist. We have 3 studios within this space, and then we have another whole wing of studios. We call it the Annex of Soho, And so there's studio spaces there as well. But it's all in the same premise in the same building that the annex just separated from the main business.
Okay. Okay. And then artists who are interested in getting some space obviously can talk to you.
Sure.
Come up there through the website and all that sort of
stuff. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And stuff. What are the hours?
We are open 7 days a week, mm-hmm. and we are open 7 to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and we're open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sundays.
Okay. Now, I was teasing you a little bit about Soho, but so was Soho in New York the inspiration for the name or something else?
It was. We wanted to emphasize that as an art community, mm-hmm. open to the public, and that not only were local artists involved, but then also the community was also invited, and we wanted to have open arms to the whole community.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, because obviously, you know, Soho, New York, the area south of Houston Street,
sure.
where it gets its name and all that. Tell me a little bit more about the cafe. You've got coffee. What else do you have?
Sure. We serve coffee, tea, pastries. So we're open for breakfast, lunch. Mm-hmm. And the one thing we do is we like to involve the local businesses around us. So, for example, we bring in cake from next door. We have our neighbor actually produces custom cakes and cake bites. So we sell his goods. We also feature Renee's from Renee's and Broderpool.
Yeah.
And so we just like to involve the community and bring everyone in, you know, to make one great business.
And it's also then a space to display the art as well, right?
Oh, yeah. So we're open for local art events, first Friday, second Saturday shows. We also we've done some private shows for some Heron students just to allow a space for them to do their final project. We also show classic movies on Fridays. It's called The Brew and View. So another thing we do sell is beer and wine. So we feature local craft beers, and we do different beer and wine events for the community.
Nice. So so the movies you show, what type of movies you guys?
Definitely B-list movies. Yeah. They're very old movies, but it's just fun to come out.
Cold classics and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we started actually in October, so we showed some of the really terrible old horror films.
Mm-hmm. Like Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Exactly, yeah.
Travis DiNicola with Jess Lawhead, owner of the Soho Gallery and Cafe in Carmel. For more information, visit SohoCafeCarmel.com. SohoCafeCarmel.com. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4 when I'll get a preview of the Actors Theater of Indiana's production of Godspell.
I'll find out about the early history of color films, which goes back far...
Before silent?
Actually, it goes deep into the silent movie era. Who knew? Eric Grayson, our own man about film town, who knows everything and anything about film, is going to come in and talk about that.
That sounds very cool. And then I'll also chat with artist Justin Vining. And there will be our arts calendar we call...
What'll we do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.